The state of California is continuing its push for the Fair Pay to Play Act. Professor Michael McCann joins me to discuss. This is the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about the law school and apply by visiting law.unh.edu. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or hosts and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire. So, Mike, what triggered the development of this act?
So the development of the act is a reflection of NCAA amateurism rules that prevent college athletes from gaining compensation for the use of their name, image, and likeness. Now, that topic stems from Ed O'Bannon's historic case against the NCAA. Ed, of course, spoke at our school. We were the first law school where he appeared to talk after the case had ended. And Ed's case was successful. He showed that the NCAA had committed an antitrust violation by the NCAA and its member schools and conferences joining hands to prevent, to really take away players' name, image, and likeness value because they were in video games and other products. But the NCAA hasn't changed its rules to now permit players to profit from that. So this case is about, I think, a lingering frustration by many that athletes are being, their identities are being used, but they're not able to gain from it. Now, it's in a lot of, it can be easy to kind of link it to other things, but this isn't about making college athletes employees. This isn't about paying them a salary. This is about really the relationship between the college athlete and third parties, video game companies, apparel companies, local car dealerships. And it doesn't just benefit football and basketball players. It also benefits, you know, potentially high profile Olympic athletes who play in college, right? Swimmers. And so it's a situation where others might benefit. So that's the genesis of it. And this law would require California colleges to allow college athletes to be able to hire an agent and to sign licensing deals. So if a college were to say, well, the NCAA doesn't let us do it, too bad, right? Now, I'm sure we'll talk about the NCAA's response.
Yes. Now, is there a legal definition of amateur versus professional athlete?
It's a series of rules. It's numerous passages in the NCAA's bylaws contemplate distinguishing amateur, quote unquote, amateur athletes and professional athletes. I think traditional view of the student athlete is that because they're in college, they're not a professional. But it's interesting, that term, student athlete, the origin of that was not about how the NCAA was founded. The NCAA was founded in the early 1900s to require safety for players. It was not about whether college athletes could be paid. It wasn't until college athletes in the 50s and 60s claimed benefits under workers' comp statutes where the NCAA said, oh, hold on, you're not an employee,
right?
You're a student athlete. So it was really a litigation device that has taken on its own meaning since then, where it's really a series of rules to purportedly distinguish college athletes from professional athletes. Of course, college coaches can get paid a lot of money. The staff get paid.
Right. I mean, the line between professional and the amateur athlete is really narrow when it comes to college sports.
Extremely narrow. And it's interesting, colleges will spend so much on everything but the athlete.
Right.
It's like an orbit around the athlete. That's how they compete for the athlete. They can't pay the athlete. So they spend on everything around him or her. That's their way of recruiting.
In theory, basically what this would allow is athletes would be able to go out and get contracts for advertising or sponsorship deals or things like that, which would be pretty lucrative in 2019, especially with, you figure, influencers, micro-influencers, where you have a lot of these athletes could get hundreds of thousands of followers if they're popular enough.
Great point, especially in this era of influencers.
Right.
The value of that is only higher. You know, we think of, I think, the traditional endorsement deal of Nike or Ford or Microsoft, but as you know, AJ, it goes way beyond that nowadays to other opportunities through social media.
I mean, you see it with just general social media influencers. If you get 10,000 followers, you can get a deal with many companies, even huge multinational companies will throw a few bucks your way.
That's right. And you got to think some of these athletes would be that marketable. So this would be a way for them to get compensation for that, assuming, of course, it withstands legal scrutiny.
Have any corporations kind of put their two cents in this at all? I mean, it seems like it would be like EA or the video game industry would, for example, have an interest in this happening.
So EA is interesting because they were one of the defendants in the O'Bannon case, right. But they cut a deal. They got out of it. EA doesn't care about amateurism, right? Yeah. EA would be happy to pay college athletes. Yeah. What do they care,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, let's just throw them some money
and
move on.
And they would rather have them because right. It's a better video game if you have the real players in it and mm-hmm. their names, right? Because before, the NCAA didn't let the players' names be used. But the names were actually included in the strip right before the game was published. Why not just have a game that just has the real players, has the names and everything? I'm sure EA would be happy. EA has no stake in amateurism, other than the fact that they don't want to lose a relationship with the NCAA, right? So I would imagine EA hasn't said anything, but I imagine EA would be happy if college athletes could sign endorsement deals and licensing deals.
Have other states considered doing something like this?
There have been talks in other states, but we haven't seen anything get to this stage. Now, I think if California, all it takes is now Governor Newsom to sign the act into law, assuming, and by all accounts, he's going to do that. It was unanimously approved most recently in the assembly. So as a result, in all likely, this will get passed. This will get signed by the governor, but then there'll be a legal fight.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even if this does get through, I can't imagine this going into effect for years. I mean, this is going to go, I'd be shocked if this didn't get all the way to the Supreme Court because other states are going to jump on board.
Right. And you know, it's an excellent point about the years because it wouldn't go into effect under the law until January 1, 2023. So that's really three plus years mm-hmm. from now.
Did they build that out knowing that it would likely go that way?
Yeah, I assume. I haven't talked to Tom about this, but they knew that this also gives schools transition time
right.
to adjust to it, that if it were overnight, it would be pretty chaotic for
schools
compliance officers.
Schools move quickly, Mike. Well,
no comment on that. No comment.
This would be many years in the making, but I'd imagine especially larger states where like Penn, for example, I mean, it'd be easy for them to just rubber stamp what California did over to their own state legislature.
Yeah, although the NCAA is now applying pressure. The NCAA said, we're going to take away championship games from California if this becomes law. So they're kind of warning other states. Also, the schools in California now have a stake maybe in bringing a lawsuit to stop this law from going into effect.
Yeah, yeah. What have the schools said about this?
The schools haven't said anything. No official statements.
Yeah.
They are monitoring it. And I think part of it's because it doesn't go into effect for a while. Mm-hmm. But also, they have to be careful. They don't want to look like they're against college athletes.
Right.
But they also don't want to look like they're against the NCAA. So in some ways, saying nothing is probably the best approach. They may bring cases. There's arguments under interstate commerce that this will ultimately not be held constitutional. We'll have to see what happens.
Thanks for listening to the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about us by visiting law.unh.edu or following UNH Law on social media. Be sure to comment and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Spotify. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire.